Well, if anybody broke into houses, you would have had a heyday at Friday in Rensselaer because almost the whole town was gone. They went down to Indianapolis for the football game. So they're all excited down there. They beat the Mother of God. That's the team they played. That was the mascot name, Mother of God. It's amazing how these Catholic schools get in the state finals. They get all this recruiting. I'm sure all those boys get to join the Catholic Church. I'm sure of that. Okay, Ephesians 1. Okay, this is when Paul was in jail, and he's writing a very, very detailed doctrinal viewpoint of salvation and Christian life. So there are some pretty heavy ideas in this section we're going to read, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. The Calvinist friends, they'd like to hang around verse 4 and 5. And so let's go ahead and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to understand your words. I do ask that you'd help us to know how to apply these things to our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, make sure we get spiritual blessings. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, like I said, there's some pretty heavy stuff as you read through there. And the Bible sometimes will read like a legal document. And this is one of those places. Okay, now, like I said, verse 4, our Calvinist friends like to hang around that where they think that they were predestinated before the foundation of the world to be saved. But the verse is stating that a person is predestinated. God chose before the foundation of the world to use Jesus Christ to be the means of salvation. That's what the choosing was. In verse 5, you have the word predestinated. That's found four times in the Bible, and Presbyterians, Baptists, and the Dutch Reformed are the ones that kind of hang around that word. Baptists, they run the fence on both sides, but they're very confused on that, the idea of being predestinated. Several years ago, my dad and I went to a farm auction, a farm sale, and was talking to a gentleman that sold grain bins, and he made a profession of faith with us at the farm auction between 500, you know, between that, we kind of walked away from that. And Dad witnessed to his wife, but she was a Presbyterian, and she believed that she was predestinated to go to hell. So she had no hope whatsoever. Now, can you imagine somebody believing that? I would at least give it a try, maybe, you know, went out somehow. But she rejected the gospel. felt she was determined or predestined to go to hell. She didn't have a choice in the matter. And that's somebody that has taken a Bible word and is really confusing that. Okay, you have the word dispensation in verse 10. That's another very unique word that's used in the Bible. And verse 11, you got the word predestinated again. Now, in verse 6 is what I want to look at the end of verse 6, where it says this, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In the context, the us will be the born-again believers in Ephesus, but this also applies to any born-again believer, where he's accepted in the beloved. Now, that idea of being accepted in the beloved, that's a thing that if you look at people in general, you know, most people don't just live their lives by actions of their own accord. Most people live their lives based on reactions. Okay, this person, I think they're thinking this about me, so since I think they're thinking this, then I'm going to react this way because I think they're thinking this. This is the whole idea of peer pressure. Okay, peer pressure is not limited to the young people. Adults give in to peer pressure all the time. Peer pressure is what the media puts on people. They use peer pressure to put pressure on society as a whole, who they want you to vote for, how they want you to think. And a lot of people react according to the pressure of the media. A lot of Christians don't speak up for Christ because the media has said that you're going to be offensive to somebody. And actually, what people are looking for in life is they're looking for acceptance. But you see, and this is why they give in to peer pressure, because they think that if I accept this, then I'm going to be, if I do this action or this reaction of what I think that's going to please them, then I will be accepted by them. In the inner cities where the family is in shambles, where a lot of kids grow up in a home, they don't know who their dad is, they got a clue who it is, or if he is, he's out somewhere. And so they have, the gangs are full and running over in the inner cities especially, and they're coming out into the countries. Why? It's because these people, these young people, feel accepted by this group. They feel rejected by their family, or they're not getting any acceptance, so they have become accepted in a gang, in a group. When we worked with the Chicago teenagers, there's a young girl named Anne, and she was in a gang. And if we served any food to the young people, like a pizza, she would demand the box. She wanted to read the ingredients. And the reason why she wanted to read it is because in her gang, they could not eat pork. Must be some health food gang. I don't know what that was. But, I mean, that was a big, big deal to her. She got acceptance from this gang because she complied with their rules. Many children will live their lives trying to seek the approval of their parents, their dad or their mom, where maybe they grew up in that family. They could never seem to please their parents on anything. The parents are always critical about something, always ripping them up about something. And these people will try to live their lives to find acceptance from somebody, especially their parents. We know of Brent and Jen told us about a month ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I think it was, that they asked us to pray for this pastor's family. And what it was in this case was a young pastor, a young family, 3 small children. And I guess his wife lived a pretty bad life, pretty rough life before she got saved. And she had gotten saved. She got God's forgiveness, got her husband's forgiveness about the past, her past. But I guess a lot of people kept bringing it up to her. And she just got tired of it. And she took her life. She could not find acceptance. She probably didn't forgive herself. And that's a rare thing for a woman to be doing this. It's mostly young men doing these things. And she was seeking acceptance from somewhere. Now, people who are insecure, they don't feel accepted, so they're insecure, so they try to impress people. They might elaborate the story, they might do something because they think that that's going to impress somebody. But you see, that's a pretty a pretty rough way to live your life, because you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to impress everybody. People pretend to be something they're not. I know a guy that looked just like Elvis Presley. Combed his hair like him, acted like him, dressed like him, did concerts like him. And I'm thinking, what a sickening thing to live your life like that. Some people will actually get plastic surgery to look like some famous person. They're pretending to be something they're not. Some people, if they want to get acceptance or feel acceptance within a church structure, but they want to live a wicked life outside of the church, so they're going to cover up their sin. They're going to hide it, thinking that, okay, these people don't know this, and so they think I'm holy, but yet really, and their own conscience is telling them they're wrong. That's why they're hiding it. People hide things because they know in their conscience they're doing wrong. People in our culture seek equality. They talk about equal rights. Do you know why a person talks about equal rights? It's because they feel inferior. That's why they want equal. They feel within themselves they're below something. But technically speaking, people who are seeking, quote, equal rights really, in actuality, are looking for special favors. That's what they're looking for. They want everybody to pay their way. What's going on down in Ferguson? That's not racial problems going on. That's somebody who's taking advantage of a situation so that they can get away with some things. That's all that is. If somebody is trying to promote race riots, that's all that it is. It's no different than anything else. Somebody's trying to take advantage of something. Why? People are looking for acceptance. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, there's the greatest acceptance you're ever going to find. And that's being accepted by God. Accepted in the Beloved. And there's nothing better than that. Now I want to give you some thoughts about that, about being accepted in the Beloved, accepted by God Himself, where acceptance of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the door. That's the door to be accepted by God. A lot of people think, well, you know, and we talk to these people on the street, well, God's going to forgive everybody in the end. No, He's not. And God accepts me the way I am. No, He doesn't. Ask Mr. Cain that question. The first man who did a religious thing, the very first man to do a religious deed to try to get accepted by God. In fact, he was the motivating factor before Abel decided to do that. And God rejected Cain's offer. The acceptance of the gospel is the door to be accepted in the Beloved of God. If you would, look in Ephesians 1. Now here is very simply the process, if we call it a process, a birth process, I guess you could say. In verse 12 it says, who first trusted in Christ. And then it says, in whom ye also trusted after. Okay, so what did you hear before you trusted in Christ? After that ye heard the word of the truth, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard somebody tell you the gospel story about Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection. After you heard that, in whom also after that ye believed. Okay, you believed in that gospel. That is your ticket for eternal life. That's the door to be accepted by God. What does God do? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, there's some legal terms. Now, if you've ever been involved in buying a house, okay, you see the house in the market, or maybe you hear about a house or a property. Okay, you put an offer in. With that offer is thrown in what's called earnest money. Sometimes called down payment, but the realtors call that earnest money. And what is that earnest money designed to do? That is your commitment that you're going to complete the purchase on the day of closing. So, okay, you hear that this house is for sale, and you believe that it's for sale. I am going to put an offer in there. I throw earnest money in that. That is my commitment that I'm going to complete the purchase on the day of closing. Okay, in this passage, you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only difference in this case is God is the one that puts the earnest in you. The earnest money is the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, who is placed in the person. And that is God's promise that he is going to complete the purchase on the day of closing. Either your death or the rapture, meaning your soul is saved, it's bought, it's paid for, but your body is not. That's why the body continues to march to the grave, even though the soul is yearning for heaven. And that's God's promise. Why? Because you've been accepted in the Beloved. Man, there's nothing better than that. That's a good deal. Now, under the Old Testament covenant, if you go to the third book, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4, this is the means of acceptance under the Old Testament covenant. Leviticus 1, verse 4, this is what the first two boys, Adam and Eve, and then Cain and Abel. Cain knew that he needed to do some religious thing to be accepted by God. And from that, Abel, who was a shepherd, he offered a lamb on a sacrifice. And this was placed within their heart. It was written down, Leviticus 1:4, 2,500 years later. How did they know this, Cain and Abel? They didn't read about this. God told them. He put that in their conscience. Leviticus 1, verse 4. It says, And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Okay, atonement, at-one-ment with God. So, under the Old Testament covenant, when Abel offered his turnip and his fruit and all his vegetables for a sacrifice for God, he offered this unto a pagan god. And Abel, he offered a lamb, shed the lamb's blood. And when those things were laid on the altar, lightning came down and struck that one on Abel's side. And that was God's approval of his offering. God accepted it. And Cain stood over there and he heard that big boom after he jumped and caught himself. He realized God accepted him, didn't accept me. He got mad about it. He was mad all about that. And that's what why people react when you say something about their religion that's not as good as it should be. Your faith is not going to get you, your religion, your faith is not going to get you to heaven. It ain't good enough. No Baptist faith, no Lutheran faith, no faith at all is going to get anybody to heaven. And Cain's over there mad because his faith wasn't good enough. He saw the lightning hit over there and Abel was excited as could be. God accepted me and Cain's over there, he's mad. And so God got involved and he said to Cain, Genesis 4 verse 7, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. He said, Cain, if you did well, I would accept it. In other words, you didn't do well enough. And he said, Cain, sin's lying at the door. Look over there. Right over there is a sin. There's a lamb sitting over there. Abel is going to give you a lamb. And I'll accept that lamb. I ain't taking anything from him. I'm going to earn my own way to heaven. I pay my own debt. Yeah, you didn't the first time when your mama gave birth to you, boy. Well, I don't care what you say. And then he and Abel got fussing about it. And they got arguing about it back in the back 40. And Cain cold cocked him, hit him with a rock and killed him. And Cain's religion has been killing Abel's religion ever since. Cain is a religion of works and Abel is a religion of faith in the shed blood. In the Old Testament, that was the means of acceptance. In the New Testament, you'll find it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, where Paul tells us, here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, this is the great news that's worthy for everybody to accept it. And if the person accepts it, then I will accept them. Man, there's nothing better than that. You see, when a When an individual humbly believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation, God accepts that faith. When a sinner repents of his tomfoolery of trusting in his church or his religion and comes to Jesus Christ, God accepts that person. And if you're accepted by God, rest in that fact. I knew a fellow years ago, there's a Jewish man. And when he accepted Jesus Christ by faith, and he got saved, he was excited about it, and he called his mom and told her and told his dad that he is now a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And they said, "You're dead. You're a dead man." And they went to a cemetery, and they bought a tombstone, and they put his name on the tombstone. And when he would call them, they'd say, "Nope, you're dead. You're dead. He's dead. I'm talking to a dead man. He's got a good phone in that cemetery plot. Must have had cell phones back then. I don't know." But you know what the Bible says? Psalm 27, verse 10, "When thy father and thy mother forsake thee, the Lord will take thee up." Great promise. And we can rest in that fact. Acceptance of the gospel is the door. It is the only door to be accepted by God. Now, when a person accepts that gospel, they're accepted in salvation. But what about their life after they get saved? If you would, look in Psalms 119, verse 105. The psalmist is wanting to offer a free will offering to God. Is he going to accept that? Now, he's accepted the burnt offering, Jesus Christ, as far as the life for salvation. But what about what we do after that? Is God going to accept our efforts for him? Psalm 119, verse 108 says this, "Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments." Now, if salvation through Jesus Christ is the door to acceptance for salvation, then there's got to be something that's a door to God accepting our service. And that will be service that is done willfully according to the Scriptures. He said, "Teach me thy statutes." And it's got to be according to the Scriptures. If you would, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There's a lot of people across this country who think they're having a ministry for God and they don't have any ministry for God, and God is not going to accept it because it's not according to the Scriptures. And there's a lot of people that are, churches use peer pressure to put pressure on people to follow some rule or regulation, and these people give into that because they don't want to be thought down upon. They're not going to get a reward for that. Your service for God has to be something that's willing, voluntarily, of your own nature. You have to choose of yourself. No pressure from anybody else. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. It says this, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." It must be a willing mind. You know, a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, they want to get like a notch on their belt, and they get young people and they want to push them to Christian college. They want them called to preach, so they got a little notch on their belt. And how many we got to go to school? You know, if somebody says they're called to preach, you know, I said, "Well, that's good, but you just better think about that. It's got to be willful, and you got to realize that's quite a responsibility." And you'll see the ones in the Bible, when somebody heads that way, the Lord seemed like he was trying to discourage them to follow him. Instead of saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, jump on a bandwagon like everybody else." Nah, it's a little bit different in the Bible. You know, I hear sometimes these colleges, these fundamental Baptists, where they have youth conferences. And all that is a big advertisement for their school. 3-day advertisement. That's all that is. And then they'll say, "We had 200 young men called to preach." Okay, yeah, that's fine and dandy. Hope so. You see, it's just not something in the Bible that's it's really pushed. The Lord wants us to willingly serve him. You see, we don't make a big effort, a big push on these things, because we want people to, of their free choice, do what you do because you love Jesus Christ. You say, well, yeah, but you get more folks out there doing something. Yeah, but you gotta want to do that of your own free will, doing that for the Lord. And maybe you're doing something else for the Lord. You see, this acceptance is something that's conditioned upon the Scriptures. Now, if you're accepted by God regarding salvation, but your life is not pleasing to God, you need to repent toward God. If you're accepted by God on salvation and that's good enough for you, well, you're not pleasing to God. You need to restore your childlike faith back into the gospel. Now, if a person is accepted by the Lord, Ephesians 1 verse 6, you've been accepted by the Lord, you can rest in that fact. It doesn't matter when people reject you. It doesn't matter. I mean, when you get out on the streets, pass out tracts, you're going to definitely feel rejection. People mock you. Most people just ignore you, walk on by, just like you're not even there. You try to say hi, they don't even acknowledge you. Okay, that's rejection. And you see, but yet, if you've been accepted by the Lord, who cares about that rejection? You know, there's nobody who's walked this planet that has been more rejected than Jesus Christ. Nobody. Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, he was despised and rejected of men, acquainted with grief. Jesus Christ. There's nobody on this planet right now that's more rejected than the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, he's rejected by the church today. A lot of people in church, where they're doing their thing, if Jesus Christ showed up that morning to their church service and got behind that pulpit, he'd get preaching away. There's some folks would be walking out on him, or they'd be throwing stuff at him. They'd be making fun of him. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 shows that Jesus Christ is outside the door in the average church today. He's being rejected. You see, and being rejected by the world, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's sad today to me that the church, you see these contemporary where they want to be accepted by God and the world at the same time. You can't do that. That's like mixing oil and water. So when you're rejected by the world, just mark that down. Well, you get to walk like Jesus Christ a little bit. If you would, look in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 18. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So you've been rejected by the world, maybe some folks at work, that's fine. You've been accepted by God. I mean, okay, you can try to live your life to please everybody, but boy, what a sorry way to live your life. You can live your life trying to please one. Get in this book, find out what that one thinks about some certain things, and then fall in line with it, and then that one will accept you. Find out what the book says. There's a fellow named Job several years ago. Job went through some terrible trials, and his three buddies showed up, and they railed on him for a while. And after they got done railing on him, they wanted to offer a sacrifice to God. And God told those three guys, I'm not accepting your sacrifice. If you guys want to be accepted, you better go talk to Job, and he'll pray for you. Now these three guys, for several days, was implying to Job that you are suffering because you are the Antichrist, and your kids died because they were wicked. And then they went to God, and they wanted to offer a sacrifice, and God interrupted their sacrifice and said, pals, Job was right, you're wrong, I'm not accepting you. You go to Job, and he'll pray for you. Now, how would you feel if you were Job? Would you want to pray for those guys? I wouldn't want to pray for them. But that shows the type of man Job is. He prayed for him, and God accepted their sacrifice, not because of them, but because of a praying man for them. And this is where we parents can step in for our children, where maybe they're not living the way they should be, and God is not accepting them, but you and I should pray for them. And keep praying for them, and keep praying for them, and until their heart gets right with God. And God accepts that. But the greatest joy that anybody should have and rest in is, I don't need to impress anybody, because I got a God that has accepted me. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. Now, we got a bunch of people nowadays that thinks that God's just going to accept me the way I am. He ain't going to do that. You have to come through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to rest in the fact that the gospel story of the Lord Jesus Christ is the door to the to being accepted by thee. And Lord, help us to rest in that fact that we are accepted by the God of the universe because of that. And we can rest in that and relax in that and not have to live our lives trying to please somebody or give in to peer pressure or give in to the world when we already know the world hates us anyway. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see that. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, belief in what Jesus Christ has done at Calvary, that is the door to be accepted by God. That's the New Testament plan. And if you're accepted by God, then we need to show our gratitude to that God by living our lives in compliance to the Scriptures so that He will not only accept us as our soul, He will accept our efforts, our life, our service, our sanctification that might be a blessing to Him. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano will play. If you need the altar, it's open. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ and I'm uncertain about how, you can either ask somebody you're sitting next to or raise a hand. We can have somebody show you. Or just talk to me afterwards. There's nothing better than that, to rest in the fact that the God of the universe has accepted an individual. Lord, what a great promise that your word gives about being accepted in the beloved. And because of that, help us to rest in that truth and being accepted by Thee. And so we don't have to prove anything to anyone. We don't have to seek their approval about anything in specific because we're trying to seek your approval. And Lord, when folks approve of that, praise the Lord. And if they don't, they reject that, well, we can still praise the Lord because our Lord is accepting it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.